In Japan today, crowds line the streets to bid farewell to Shinzo Abe, the former prime minister who was laid to rest. Abe was assassinated Friday. Now, his funeral was private, but afterward, his hearse drove through central Tokyo, where thousands packed pavements to pay their respects. NPR's Anthony Kuhn is in Tokyo, and he's observed the events today. Anthony, hi.
Hey, how are you, Scott?
Doing well. Great to talk to you. What did you see today?
Well, I arrived and it was a cold and rainy day, and there was a wake and funeral that was held at the Zozoji, a centuries-old Buddhist temple in Tokyo, where some of the shoguns that once ruled Japan are buried. And Abe's widow, Akie, led the mourning of close friends and politicians, and then the hearse went out and it did a tour of the places that were central in Abe's career, the parliament, the offices of the ruling party, the former prime minister's residence, and the streets were packed with mourners and people wishing him farewell. When I got to the temple, there were still people laying flowers in front of a picture of him. And there will be further public services later, but this was, for many people, their last chance to say goodbye to one of the country's most influential politicians in recent history.
Did you see many outward signs of emotion from the people? I mean, it's a place where we don't often see it, at least in public.
Well, it was, there were a lot of people clasping their hands in prayer. I spoke to quite a few people who were weeping. Many people prostrated themselves in front of his picture and laid bouquets of flowers. It was quite emotional.
Yeah. Many observers have told us that Shinzo Abe was the face, the brand of a Japan seeking new relevance in the world when he was prime minister. You know, a Japan trying to move on from two decades of economic sclerosis. For the crowd that turned out, what did Abe mean to them?
Well, as you know, Japan's public is very divided on this subject. Abe was famous for saying he wanted to take back Japan, not just from the economic sclerosis you mentioned, but also from the stigma of the country's defeat in World War II. Mm-hmm. And his message was that Japan's pacifism since World War II is just not going to cut it in this tough neighborhood Japan finds itself in, with China and North Korea beefing up their militaries. Japan needs to do the same. He also felt that a lot of the things in the Constitution, which America wrote for it after World War II, just didn't fit. Abe was a very skilled politician. He won a lot of elections for the ruling party. But to his detractors, he was a denialist of World War II atrocities. His administration was beset by cronyism scandals. And to countries which Japan invaded in World War II, particularly South Korea and China, as you know, they saw him as dangerously heading back towards the path to militarism.
Mm-hmm. Any more details about last week's assassination, about the suspect?
Yeah, well, the details are trickling out of the investigation. We know that the suspect in the killing was a 41-year-old man named Tetsuya Yamagami. He was a loner. He had very few friends. He served in Japan's maritime armed forces, where he learned how to use firearms. And police found multiple homemade guns and shotgun shells in his home. Now, this man told police he claimed that his mother was scammed by the Unification Church, colloquially known as the Moonies, that his mother donated a lot of money to them and the family went bankrupt and fell apart. And he felt that Abe was speaking in support of this group. Abe had done videos praising them, and so he blamed them for what happened to his family. Now, there are a lot of things we don't know. The church admitted that the mother was a member, but we don't know anything about the donations. The church wouldn't say. It's still early days in the investigation and too early to be pointing fingers, I think.
Yeah. That's NPR's Anthony Kuhn in Tokyo. Anthony, thank you as always.
Thank you, Scott.